WTOP Belfast, Maine, 100.9 FM.
It's 6 o'clock on Monday. That means it's time for the Belfast Lions High School Sports Show. Here's your host, Coach Brian Goff.
My fear is I forget some kid's name. Get a mental block.
I got names written down, so I've done some research, and you know. All right, folks, welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is the head football coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach Brian Goff. I am also the head JV basketball coach this year, and I'm fired up about that. We have our first team meeting tomorrow. Winter sports is finally here. And joining the show tonight, we have the head basketball coach for your Belfast Lions, Coach Marty Messer, joins the show. We're going to be previewing the 2020 Belfast Lions and talking about a number of Belfast-related topics and all geared around the great sport of basketball. Coach Marty, how are you, and welcome to the show.
Oh, great. Thanks for inviting me. This is going to be fun. You know, I look forward to this and heard some of the other shows, so hopefully we can have a great discussion.
Absolutely. You know, we're really kind of one of the only gigs in town right now with all this COVID stuff going on. And the more positivity that we can bring and, you know, more exposure to our Belfast sports here at Belfast, I'm all about. I love to talk about the athletes and coaches' careers and just try to keep things positive. We're in a crazy year right now in the year 2020, as you know, and I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we've still got to get through this winter portion. And, you know, sports is always brings a smile to a lot of people's faces, and that's what we're trying to do here. So fired up for the first team meeting tomorrow, Coach, and coaching with it this year. I'm a big fan of the game of basketball. I played for the Belfast Lions over 30 years ago as a starting point guard under Coach Butch Richards back then, my junior and senior year. Once I went away to college, I had to pick one sport. Football was my first love, so I went with that. But I've always followed the game. March Madness is one of my favorite things to watch every year. I'm still a big NBA fan. Being back in Belfast, I was one of your biggest fans last year. I was a spectator at several of your games. And brought a lot of great memories back to, you know, when I was a player back there. And now that I know a lot of the kids at the high school, being back at the school for 3 years, it's just really a very cool thing to go and support them and see them do the things that they love. Coach, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, and what sports you participated in when you were growing up.
Well, I will. But I want to start by congratulating you on being a good varsity football coach and then joining us with basketball. I've had three different very good JV coaches in the past since I've been here for, I think this is going into my seventh year. And we're glad to have you along. And I know you have an advantage already knowing a lot of the kids. And they noticed, they saw you in the fans, in the bleachers last year for a lot of games. And I think that's great support when you do that when you're not coaching us with us. But yeah, I live in Rockport. I've always coached ever since I got right out of college. Actually, I coached when I was in college. My first job was in Windham, Maine, seventh grade coach. I had some medical issues, so I played 3 years at USM and didn't finish out my senior year. So I got a job coaching, and I loved it. It was a great time, and did another middle school team in the Bangor area, and then coached JV boys basketball at Old Town. Had some good teams there. It was right after they had a couple of state championship runs and still had some good talent, worked with Marty Clark there, good varsity coach. And from then, met my wife, moved to Camden and started coaching there. Did a little Lincolnville, coached Lincolnville girls for a little while, and then started coaching in Camden. And I held a few different positions. One was JV girls for a while under Jay Carlson. I loved that, coaching the girls. It was fun. And then moved over to assistant boys coach with Jeff Hart. And I think 2008, 2009, when he had a couple of teams there that were unbelievable. One, I think, was one of the top five teams ever to play in Maine. And not too many people would disagree with that. Just incredible depth. And they were all, pretty much all of them went on to play some level of college basketball. and then coached girls basketball, varsity there at Canman for 5 years, I believe. Had fun doing that. And then came over to Belfast, and this is my seventh year here coaching.
Wow, Coach. I didn't realize you were in the game for that long. Before I ask you another question or two pertaining to your coaching career, where did you do your high school?
So I went to Hamden Academy, class of 88, and ran a little cross country, basically just to get in shape for basketball. And I loved playing baseball, played baseball there and played basketball, and was on a couple of good teams. My sophomore year, we went class A. So we played Bangor, Brewer, a lot of the bigger teams up there, known as the Big East back then. I had some great memories there and had some great teammates, and still looking back at some old photos, missing those days. It was fun.
Absolutely. You know, I tell people all the time in terms of my coaching career and playing career, it's all about creating those memories. You got pictures, you got news articles, you got stories to tell, and they seem to never get old. And now that I'm back in Belfast all these years later, I have countless number of examples of that. Former folks I've played against, former teammates, coaches, everything. It's what makes it worth coaching, and one of the very cool things I like about it.
That's some of the best memories these student athletes will have in high school. I know that's why school sports are funded and why communities come out and support every sport, boys and girls. And I've told almost every year my boys, enjoy this time while you can. Make the most of it, because you're going to be looking back. And not that they'll have any regrets, but if you want them to look back on a positive experience, I try to foster that. Win some games, have a good time with each other, and build some good memories.
Absolutely, Coach. I'm with you there 100%. Didn't realize you were a coach of the ladies for as long as you were. My notes told me that you dabbled in that a little bit. Does the philosophy change? Does the coaching style change when you're coaching a girls team as opposed to coaching a boys team, or are you a basketball coach and that's how you roll? Doesn't matter the gender.
Right. I've been asked that many times, because I did coach varsity at both levels in high school. And I think there is a big difference in most ways, not all the ways, but I'll give you a couple examples. One, and I've been asked, what do I prefer too? And it's kind of a toss up. There were times I love coaching girls, would never not do boys. You know, think about times I love boys, I'm glad I'm not coaching girls. But I always had it made, because I always coached softball with the girls as well. So when I was with boys, I'd get that. And then in the spring, I'd also get a chance to coach varsity girls softball. But yeah, it is a difference. Specifically, I think how you coach them, like how you talk to them, how you can be verbal with them. I actually think sometimes girls would pick up on things a little quicker. I think boys sometimes, because they're more apt to play their whole lives at the YMCA 3-on-3 and 4-on-4, sometimes could adapt to a changing situation quicker, you know, just on their own, just because they're used to playing like that. And I'm generalizing here. But another part is too, like, I'll give you an example. When I was coaching the girls, we used to have a really nice 5-man press, like a zone where everybody was up over half court, and you would need to find an opponent. You know, we were playing class B girls, a strong girl who could take the ball out of bounds, or at least they pass it to her to throw it over the top. So that rarely happened. Even when coaches knew it was coming, we would really press them hard, take away everything at the half court. And even if they sent somebody long, chances are they weren't going to find them and throw it to them by the time we got back. That's much different with the boys. Like, you get to cover 94 feet and be able to account for the whole court when pressing, when you're double teaming, maybe leaving somebody long or something like that. So there are little differences here and there, but one thing I can say is the girls, after a game, during the post-game speech, the locker room smelled a lot better.
I hear that, Coach. In terms of your coaching career, you know, here you are, you coached at Old Town, Wyndham, Camden. Am I leaving anything out? anyway, you've had a number of stops. My main question is, what led you to become the coach here at Belfast?
So I was coaching the girls in Camden. My daughter was a freshman and played for me. We had a great season, I thought. We lost the year before, lost several really good seniors. And we went a couple games into the tournament that year. So I don't think too many people were expecting a lot of us that next year. And like I said, I think we ended up in seventh place, played in a prelim game. And that was, again, out of, boy, like 16, 17 teams or more. So we were happy that we did that. And it was actually, you know, something that I'll never forget. I thought we had a great season. Sportsmanship was great. And you know, this was 7 or 8 years ago, but it's one of those moments that you really think about for the rest of your life when you have a passion for coaching. And I walk into the athletic director's office, the athletic director at the time, and he basically said, hey, you know, good season. Congratulations on the awards and this and that. And the last thing he said was, we're going to take it in a different direction. So I was kind of shocked. And I was like, are you kidding? And talked to him, talked to a couple administrators. And the long and the short of it was that I found out that they really, after many, many, many years of having a male coach there, and this is hearsay, but I'm willing to believe that it's true. They wanted a female coach, which they did hire. They hired several female coaches after that. They've had several coaches since then. I think 5 female coaches altogether. So it was a tough pill to swallow, but I just kind of sucked it up and said, well, I want to coach. And I happen to know Terry Keniston. He got a hold of me and said, why don't you come on over and coach the boys? And he was always great because he got to switch some of my games around so I could see my daughter continue to play. And when she graduated, same thing with my son, Casey.
Very cool.
It ended up great. You know, I got to meet so many great players in Belfast and had a great experience so far with them and a lot of good connections. And actually, they had a teaching job several years ago, and I thought, why not try to teach in the same place where I coach? So it all worked out for the better.
That is awesome. And did you say earlier, Coach, that you've been at Belfast for 7 years now?
I think this will be my 7th year coaching this year.
Okay. This will be your 7th year. We kind of have an idea of what the team's going to be like this year. In your prior 6 years, what would you say was the best team that you've coached here at Belfast?
Well, that's tough. I really don't like to look at the record. That first year I came here, I had some really good seniors, and Levi Lapham and Stephen Davis came over from Mount View, and we had a good supporting cast there. Stanley Sturgis was a freshman, and that was a really great, tough team. The only thing is we were a B team playing an A schedule. We had most of our games playing against all A teams. So I think we won 7 or 8 games that year, ended up making the first playoffs for a Belfast team in a long time. We made the prelim, went up and lost by 2 points at Caribou.
Got a great program.
Xavier Roman was another good one on that team. So that was a tough team right there to start right off. But unfortunately, like I said, our competition was unbelievable that year. And then I'd say another one was when I had a lot of seniors in 2017, I believe, with Ian Snowdeal, Garrett Hamlin, Zane Bielenberg, Nolan Woods, a lot of good players right there too, and some supporting cast as well, younger players. And that was another one where, we won, I think we were 500 that year. Again, played a different schedule, playing some A teams and tough KVAC teams, and ended up going to play the eventual state championship winner, MDI. In our first playoff game, well, we had a prelim that we beat somebody pretty well. I think it was Fulton. And then we ended up losing to MDI like by 4 or 5. It was a really close game. I know right towards the end. And we all believed we could beat them. We saw them play. And, all the feedback I got from people I know at MDI, their coach said, wow. Later on said, Belfast gave us our toughest run through that whole state championship season. And it was true. We played them tough, but just a matchup. I thought, unfortunately, I thought we were probably the third or fourth best team in the league that year, but because of the heel points and and losing some good teams, we end up moving down to 7 and having to play them as number 2.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment to take the team that took it all the way to only lose a couple of baskets. I've been back in Belfast on a full-time basis for about 4 years now. Well, I should say Maine for 4 years, Belfast for a little over 2 years now. And it seemed just about every year, the last few years, there's the Belfast Lions in the state tournament. I went 2 years in a row. We just missed it last year.
Yeah.
When we got in, I thought we had an opportunity to do some damage. But, you know, the way those heel points work and schedules, as you talked about, and how much say do you have in the schedule that's presented to you on a yearly basis, or do you have any at all? Is it just presented to you by the school? How's that work, Coach?
Well, I can give my AD, my athletic director, some feedback. And again, Matt Batani is new this year. So in the past, it was Terry Keniston, and he was always on board with what we thought. Like I said, those first 3 years were tough playing against predominantly Class A teams. And it made us better, but it's all about heel points. And like you said, last year, I had a very good team too. We won 10 games. Usually, I've never seen a team in basketball in Eastern Maine win 10 games and miss the playoffs, and we did by a fraction of a point. And that was tough to take. But the other part of that is we played 6 games against 3 towns who won like a combination of 2 games. So it was John Bapps, Lincoln Academy, and Waterville. Beat them 3 times, beat them twice each. That's 6 games, but didn't get any points for them. You know, just terrible points. And we did beat Oceanside, a tournament team, twice. Mount View beat them. They were a tournament, and you know, we were very competitive. It's just unfortunate. Not to make excuses. I know you have to go out and you have to beat people to get in the tournaments, but it seems like sometimes we're getting the wrong end of the stick there.
What convinced me that you were a tournament team in my eyes, and in my heart thought you could have done some serious damage last year, was going toe-to-toe with, I believe, Matt Knockcook on their home court. And you look at the tournament last year, and they're there in the championship game at the end of the season. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if the Lions are on their court with an opportunity to win that basketball game, what could have been, what should have been, opportunities, you know, had you got into that tournament. That's what was disappointing to me. Like I said, I went to several games last year. I think last year's team arguably was the best Belfast Lions basketball team that I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years since I've been back in Maine. And it was just disappointing to not see you get in and have that opportunity, because I felt like if you did get in, you could have done some serious damage. Do you feel the same way, Coach?
Oh, yeah, and like I said, if we were a point above playing a couple of teams there that did get upset, Herman got beat, because we would have been in Old Town's spot, and Old Town ended up going, and we knew Herman had some injuries, and they were weaker. Holton had an easier schedule. We kept our eye on them. I saw them, and I was thinking, boy, that would be a good matchup for us, and of course, Old Town goes up and beats them on their own floor. That's what's happening. You know, I'm sure the players and I were both jealous, saying, oh, that could be us, could have been us. But, you know, hopefully you learn from that stuff. The seniors I have now, and talking about some good, memorable teams, you know, the two big players I have now, you know, Jason Bartlett, Chris Kelly, they were both freshmen on another good team that I had, with Jason's brother Tyler, Dakota Doolin, Stanley Sturgis. That was another team where we ended up playing in Bangor Auditorium, and unfortunately got matched up with a really good Herman team. But that was another team that was just so gutsy. And we weren't very big, but they scrapped and clawed and had a couple nice victories. I remember we upset Marinacook up there and Ellsworth. You know, they were a good team that we beat. But, yeah, it's good. The point I was trying to make is I'm glad that Chris and Jason at least got on the Bangor floor. So, you know, hopefully – we're making a playoff run this year in our own little pod, the way it's supposed to be. We'll have some veteran experience there.
Absolutely. And I was at that tournament game in Bangor with that team you just talked about. And that's what I remember. It was guys were scrapping, guys were diving on the ball on the floor for loose balls. They were boxing out. They literally left it all out on the court that day. And even though the Lions came up a little bit short, you know, as a Belfast alum, you know, it made me proud to see that effort and love and passion that your team had for that that particular tournament. So.
And the game before that was a nice little upset win at Caribou when Tyler Bartlett scored a putback on a little rebound for us to go ahead with seconds left and end up beating them. And looking at my last 7 years, that was one of the best times of my life. Not just going up there and winning, but the whole atmosphere and, of course, Tyler's basket. And it was right up there for me, comparable to the last game I coached there against Mount View, last game of the season when we won.
You know, these buzzer beaters by Tyler Bartlett, and then last year you see younger brother Jason hit one against Mount View, another game that I was at live. I mean, that set the auditorium on absolute fire. It was really fun to be there and be part of that. And you know, you got two Bartletts at two different time frames hitting buzzer beaters for you, Coach. Is he getting that from his daddy, or is he getting that from his mother?
I'm not sure. I did have a nice discussion about that with the family, but it is fortunate that it happened to him. I know it was exciting to look back on that.
Absolutely, Coach. My next question to you, growing up or at any point in time in your career, was there any specific team or coach or mentor that inspired you to be the coach that you are today?
Well, I've had a lot of good coaches that I've coached with. You know, I was with Jay Carlson, learned a lot from him, from Jeff Hart when I was with him. When I played in college at USM, I had Bob Brown, and, you know, he's considered one of the best basketball minds ever to come out of Maine easily. He's in his early 80s now. His son coached the Philadelphia 76ers for a little while, looking for a job now. But if you start with me in basketball, you got to talk about Bob Brown. And I remember taking notes in practices or after practices at USM about drills and different things like that. And I still use them to this day. And, you know, he lectures. I still talk to him every once in a while. And you're just a great mind. You know, I had some good coaches in high school. And probably another big one that a lot of people would say about themselves is one of the best coaches I had was my father. And, you know, it's always a big topic talking about parent influences and coaching and, you know, parents getting too involved or complaining or whatever it is. But my father always did a nice job, I thought, because he would talk to me about my game. It wouldn't be about another player. It wouldn't be about the coach. And there are many times I'd come home after a game, win or lose, and he'd be positive, point out some good things, and always give me some tips on what to do next time. And I always liked it, too, before a game, whether it was a day before or an hour before the game. And he would try to fire me up and say, hey, they got that guy that thinks they can stop you. Remember last time? Or something like that, that he would just plant, you know, in my mind, which was great. So I've had a good variety of people who kind of influence my coaching. And I got to say, you know, my wife, Meredith, has been a pretty good coach, too. She's won a lot more state championships than me and, you know, highly regarded as a soccer coach. And we do talk about situations like, how do you handle this with a kid or what they say about that? Or, you know, if a parent's, you know, coming down on you about this, how do you handle that? So we've had a lot of good talks and I've learned a lot from her.
That is awesome. You know, sports are sports, you know, it's basketball, football, soccer, whatever the sport is. There's so many similarities in terms of coaching styles and philosophies and the things that you just talked about. And must be pretty cool to have your wife as a coach, and here you are, you both come home from work and you've both coached a game and you sit down to have a meal or a drink together and you can talk about sports and bounce ideas off each other and shoot.
Oh, we do that, yes. And you know, she's always busy in the fall from August on, and then it's my turn with basketball. And then when I was coaching softball, I was doing that. We actually had a few years in the spring when I was coaching softball, and I was coaching one of my sons and my daughter, both on different travel basketball teams. So that's three teams. And she was coaching like a travel soccer team. and my other son will be on a different team, and then my other son will be playing little. So we counted a couple springs where we were involved in like 10 or 12 teams, just our family alone at one time. So it takes a lot of planning, but I don't regret it. It was a lot of fun. You know, we weren't home a lot, did a lot of things on weekends and traveled and late nights, but I'm glad we all did that. And we're still doing it to a certain extent right now. But I wanted to mention, you probably know this as well as a coach too. You know, I've been coaching for a long time, different levels, and I always go into a season not pretending I know everything. I'm a student of the game. I always pick other coaches' brains here and there, and some might say, hey, that's a great idea, and then I might say, that's a horrible idea. But either way, I'm always trying to improve myself and use that experience for the future.
Absolutely. You can never stop getting better at your craft. That's for darn sure, coach. Any favorite teams or coaches when you were growing up that you really looked up to, that you maybe took a thing or two from their style of play that's incorporated into your teams?
Well, I was a big Georgetown Hoya fan, and that's when they had Patrick Ewing. I'm that old. So I saw their championship in 84 and before there, and their defensive intensity. Of course, they had Patrick Ewing protecting the basket every time, so they all just jumped around and tried to steal passes, but they played pretty solid defense all around. And I had the opportunity to actually go to a Georgetown basketball camp and meet a bunch of those players right when they were getting drafted along and all. So that was pretty fascinating. But I used to love ESPN, Big Monday, watching college basketball, two games every night, unless I had a game myself. And of course, the Celtics. You know, I was a born and raised a Celtics fan. I still am. And I was right there for the heyday where I remember getting so nervous and competitive. And I had a couple of high school friends that were Lakers friends, and we would be arguing, sometimes come into a fisticuffs, you know, fight who's a better player, Magic or Larry. But I just love the game of both of those Celtics Lakers, watching them play and learning. I still watch them. Tonight there was a game on ESPN Classic that I was watching, and you feel the old blood boiling again, you know, watching it and you know, just the style, how they played and how rough it was and how smart they were. And it was just such a great time to be a basketball fan in the 80s.
You know, you learn something new every day, coach. You know, when you referenced the Georgetown Hoyas, you know, I came up on Big East basketball. You know, my roots are New York. I only lived there for a short amount of time as a young boy. My parents are both from there. They moved us up to Maine when I was a young kid. You know, they heard Maine was a great place to raise kids, but you know, I was hearing my dad talk about all the New York teams, and back then, you know, I was a St. John's fan. So it was Coach Thompson versus Coach Louis Carnesecca.
Yes,
the Big Monday. I was always looking forward to that. You know, the Syracuse Orange Men with Coach Boeheim, who's still coaching, which is really, really cool thing to see. But that Big East basketball growing up back in the 80s and into the 90s was a special time, and a very, very competitive division as well. Coach Marty, we're going to take a quick break. Hold that thought. Okay. This is BFY 100.9 local FM. This is the Belfast Lions Sports Show. We're here with Coach Marty Messer. This is the head football coach and JV basketball coach, Coach Brian Goff. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Claire, WBFY 100.9 Belfast, Maine.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from Delvino's, serving Italian fare and cocktails on Main Street in downtown Belfast. Call 338-4565.
Greetings from KMRD-LP, Madrid, New Mexico. Sending our regards to WBFY, Belfast, Maine.
Hey, everybody out there. This is Ted with Two's a Crowd. Every Monday night, we play from 7 to 9. Tune in and turn on the music, playing our songs and yours.
And this is Stephanie. Get up off that chair and groove with us. Two's a Crowd, where our listeners are family.
WBFY 100.9, community radio, right here in Belfast.
What year did you graduate again?
90. All right, we're back here. This is Belfast Lions show here with Coach Marty Messer, head basketball coach for your Belfast Lions. Having a great conversation, talking basketball in general. We're going to touch upon where we left off with Big East basketball because it struck a chord with both Coach Marty and myself. Coach Marty referenced Big Monday back when I was in high school. Seemed every Monday morning I'm at school looking for my good buddy Larry Doolin. Say, Larry, stay over tonight. It's Big Monday. It's Georgetown versus St. John's. And, you know, the second game is Syracuse versus Villanova. Come on over. Let's do it. Coach, what other stories do you have about Big East basketball?
Well, way before the internet, we had to look at some sports magazine or sometimes a Banger Daily would have like a preview and I'd have to cut it out and they'd have like 3 or 4 weeks of every night what games were on. And I'd remember putting red circles next to them. And, you know, so I'd know what games were on. And like you were just saying, back then I would probably know the starting five for about 15 different NCAA teams. It's hard to do that this year because of the rotation. You know, if you're any good, you're going to be sent to the pros or you're going to try to do that. And it's not like the old days, like you were talking about Chris Mullin and Earl the Pearl and, you know, all those guys would just stay around for 4 years and you could, you know, get to know and love how they're playing. Like, and the quality of coaching was so good back then. But, you know, so exciting. I still have some Georgetown uniforms that I used to get when I was at basketball camp there.
Very cool. Was there any more magical run in the history of you watching basketball, Coach, than Jim Valvano's NC State team?
Oh, I know. I still have visions of that. I've all watched the show since then, recapping the whole run that they had. But I remember watching it live, and I was a Jim Valvano fan. And going back to Big Monday, it wasn't complete without Dick Vitale. And a lot of people say, oh, he annoys me. I can't stand listening to him. But, boy, did his enthusiasm really get you going. I used to love listening to him. I still do.
Absolutely. Now, who is it? Is it Pat Rafferty? Rafferty?
Yep.
I heard him calling a game the other day.
Yep, he's still around.
It took me back to Big East basketball. That's awesome, Coach. My next question is, have you always wanted to be a coach? You know, did you just wake up one day when you're a young boy and said, this is what I'm going to do? Or was there a certain age or an experience that, you know, where you had that light bulb moment? And you said, yeah, this is what I want to do with my life.
I think it was back when I was in high school. I just thought it'd be something interesting to do. I never knew what I wanted to do for a profession. And then later on, I thought, well, I'll go into education. That usually goes hand in hand when you're a teacher or a coach. Not necessarily these days. But back, you know, then in the 70s, usually every coach pretty much was a teacher or some kind of administrator in education. But again, I think college kind of confirmed it when I played in college, you know, starting to study the game more and getting more strategies and listening to Bob Brown. And then, like I said, I started off doing some middle school stuff. And I also dabbled in officiating as well. I've been a board official 3 or 4 times throughout the last 25 years. Always liked it. Kind of got a different perspective. And it has really changed how I've coached when you get that perspective on calling a game, how you officiate and the rules and everything. Also did softball umpiring. But yeah, I always knew I would be a coach and I'm glad I got some opportunities throughout the years to work with some good coaches. And I've never regretted it and I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to go, but I'm having fun now.
Absolutely. Let's get into your coaching staff a little bit. Everybody knows I'm the JV coach. I'm looking forward to that. You know, my job, the way that I look at it is to get these younger players ready for varsity basketball at some point down the road. I've been through this process where they are in their young careers, and I'm going to pass everything that was taught to me about the game of basketball. I learned a great deal of basketball from Coach Butch Richards, who's still on staff at Belfast Area High School. You know, I was a pretty wild player who, you know, was just, you know, as a 14-year-old, thought he was Michael Jordan. So I had to be corralled and taught the game, and Coach Butch was a big part of that. So I'm looking forward to working with the young guys and getting them ready for varsity basketball. But in terms of your staff, my notes tell me Gordon Fuller's been with you for at least three seasons. Is that right, Coach Marty?
Right. He started off as a JV coach. Actually, I think 4 years ago. In the last 3 years, he's been a volunteer assistant. So he was my JV coach, had a good time and everything, but just said he kind of filled in for a year. We had an opening towards the end, and I was glad he jumped in. I didn't really know him at all, and actually Butch kind of vouched for him, said, you'll like Gordon, have him do it. And so it's worked out great, and he stuck with us, so we're having a lot of fun.
I would imagine the continuity and the familiarity with one another is a good thing for the program. What specifically does Coach Fuller bring to the table?
He's, you know, he's that guy. I don't want to say it's good cop, bad cop, but he's, you know, like kids really respect him and like him a lot. And it's not a lot, but there might be a practice when we're not doing so well and I'm kind of on the guys and, you know, not screaming and yelling at him, but being very intense. And he's that one who kind of approaches it a different side so they can get a different kind of a different perspective from him. And he motivates them well. You know, when he walks into the gym, they all loved seeing him. And then, of course, I think the most important part is when he and I are alone talking about what plays are working, what plays aren't, or who's paying attention in practice, who's dogging it, who's being lazy. And he has a pretty keen observation for that, too, and letting me know. And sometimes, and I tell him I'm always open to all of your observations, whether it's in the game, whatever. And he does a great job of telling me something. And most of the time I say, yep, that's a great idea. Let's do it. He's also great about suggesting something. And I say, no, let's do it this way. Or, you know, thanks, but no thanks, in other words. But, and he's very good at handling that. He knows that's his job, is to offer some advice. And if I take it, great. If I don't, he'll think about something else.
Very nice. And Coach John Boynton joins the staff as well. Tell us a little bit about Coach Boynton.
Well, he's still thinking about that. It's not for sure. He was talking about that the other day. A lot of it's, you know, what the season's going to look like. We still don't know. You know, right now we're supposed to be playing 12 games starting middle of January, but that could get pushed back again. It could get reduced. It could get canceled. Like you said, this is just a different day and age right now with the COVID stuff going on. And back when baseball and softball and we went home, all those things were canceled, the spring sports, I thought about this moment right now, getting ready for basketball. Like, I hope we're not in jeopardy. And then fall came, a lot of things were canceled. Some schools got to get put together some teams. So I'm still sitting on the edge of my chair waiting because our athletic director, Matt Battani, has been doing a good job keeping me informed of different things. But then he always says, but that could change. And that's been my message to the kids and to the players and, I mean, the parents. You know, we're hoping for this. This is what it is right now, but who knows what's going to change. So basically right now is we can have I can coach some skills, some drills, some shooting things. There is no scrimmaging, no two-on-two, no one-on-one, nothing. The kids have to wear a mask every time they step into the gym, unless they're getting a drink of water. And we'll be doing this right through Christmas break and probably have a good size break over Christmas so everybody can go home, stay away from each other. I think that's the general consensus for the league. The KVAC is going to do that. And then start up with real basketball and tryouts early January. So we're not having tryouts yet. We can't. We're not even calling these practices or just skill sessions. And it's a good opportunity for the kids to come in and get in shape and, you know, basketball shape and get the ball in their hands and keep shooting in a gym, which is hard to do these days.
Absolutely. You just touched upon it. As of right now, we're looking at a 12-game schedule. What have they told you about playoffs and or a modified tournament? Has that been discussed at all, Coach?
So they're using the term pod, P-O-D. There's going to be, instead of a league, it's going to be a pod. And there's going to be so many teams in each pod. We'll all play each other, so six teams. And so we'll all get 12 games and then having a playoff within that pod if everything goes well. They did that in soccer in Aroostook County. And I think that's the only one to my knowledge. I don't think there were any other playoffs. So we're hoping for that right now. I mean, there's a small chance, as you, your listeners know, there's a small chance that there could be a vaccine. Things change. Maybe the numbers get very, very well. And, you know, by the end of February, they're saying, hey, maybe we can open up the Bangor Auditorium and, you know, have the pods play off or something like that. But, you know, we're being hopeful for that. But who knows what's going to happen?
Right. Yep. I've been hoping, praying, wishing every single day this will go away because, you know, just like the fall sports, you know, you want to see these guys put their best foot forward, you know. And as I look at your roster, Coach, you know, you just have a couple of guys moving on from last year. Two seniors, Ryan Philbrook and Isaac Bernoski, graduated and moved on. But you got a lot of guys coming back who have not only given you minutes, but you quality minutes. And there's a number of players that have been on a varsity basketball court since their freshman year.
Right.
And now they're seniors. This is truly their year to shine. All the practice, all the hard work, all the experience. They're bigger, faster, stronger. They're as physically, you know, gifted as they're going to be at this point. And that's why I'm just hoping and praying that we can have any type of a season, because I really want to see these guys play, seeing them the last couple of years and seeing them grow. And now their time is now, and their time's to shine. Let's talk about some of these players. For me, it's always about the seniors. We'll start right at the top. And those two players I want to talk about right off the bat are Jason Bartlett and Chris Kelly. And the reason I've started with them is because last year's juniors, they were both first team all KVAC.
Yes.
That's a nice starting duo to start with in the 2020 season. Talk about Jason and Chris Kelly, Coach.
Right. They were two out of five players that received that honor, and justifiably so. They really earned it. And like you said, part of it was I remember, you know, salivating 7 years ago, saying, look at these players, not just these two, but Tanner Veo, a few others, Chase, and saying, wow, this is going to be a great group by the time when they're a senior. Like, I knew they're going to shine before then and play well in middle school. I knew I was going to have some good teams from then till now. But a lot of people thought about that, you know, even outside the community, is, you know, boy, Belfast is going to be tough. And then you add in Derek Roberts and a couple of the underclassmen, and you know, it's not gone. I'm not saying it's going to be gone yet, but we still have the season to play. And but the big part of that too is when I think of all these things we're missing and how inconvenient and sad it is, it's depressing that these kids can't play. I think about my own son Casey, who's a senior, who misses senior soccer season. Watching my daughter Charlotte at Husson, you know, she had to have a condensed season with no competition against other schools there. Hopefully we can see her in the spring play, but it's a lot of missed opportunities because of this. You know, everybody's dealing with it. It's sad. You know, we're talking, my family, like I said, the coaching and the playing in, it's really hit us hard. But I especially feel bad for these seniors this year in basketball. You know, we're going to take what we can get right here. And like you said, hopefully we can play these 12 games and have a really positive experience and a good season. And not continue to think about what could have been, because I know 18-game schedule, no COVID, you know, Belfast is right there running for the state championship. I guarantee it. And I don't think too many other schools would disagree with that. But yeah, Jason and Chris, I've gotten to know them very well the last 4 years, and Tanner Veyu. They've all been on varsity for 4 years. Watched them grow, watched them play with each other, you know, do well in other sports. They've been great leaders. Very talented players, always willing to listen. And like I said, we're going to make the most of it with these two guys and the rest of the team, hopefully starting pretty soon.
Now, as a former college basketball player yourself, as far as I'm concerned, Jason and Chris definitely have the ability to play college basketball next year. Is that your assessment as well, Coach?
Oh, I think so, yeah. And things have changed a lot since when I was in college. All the universities, with the exception of the University of Maine, including Thomas, including Colby, Bates, Bowdoin, they're primarily a good portion Maine players. It's not like that anymore. I know these two could still play at one of the smaller colleges in Maine. I know they're looking at it already. Coaches have already talked to me about them. And, you know, like in anything, any senior would have to get a little bigger and stronger. I know their skills are there, and that'd be great to see them next year walk on somewhere and where we could all go and see them play.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the skills are there. Jason's got a very good handle with the basketball. He's a good passer. You see the confidence with the shot. I think that confidence level went even higher after that buzzer beater against Mountain View. That will do serve him well moving forward. Chris is a bigger player, has a very good outside game, but he can take it inside as well. And I'd like to see that personally, to see a little bit, trust that inside game a little bit more. You know, he's a big, powerful kid. He's got long arms. He can jump. I've seen all this on the football field and basketball court as well. And as you know, Coach, underneath is where you're going to get those fouls and you get those free throws. He could really increase his scoring average, no doubt. Rebounds very well. They both rebound very well. They're just all around two very polished basketball players. You mentioned Tanner Vaihu. I nicknamed him Mr. Reliable on the football field. I saw that same reliability on the basketball court last year. He's the type of guy to me that strikes me as doing all the dirty work. You know, he's gonna set the screens. He's gonna dive on the floor for loose balls. He's gonna get the rebounds. He's gonna hit a shot here and there when you give him the opportunity to. He's just doing everything all around, and he's reliable on the football field. He's reliable on the basketball court. Your thoughts on Tanner Vaihu, Coach?
Well, it's just what you're saying, right? He is pretty aggressive. He played a lot better in the second half of the season than he did in the first half last year. I think he got more comfortable. Growing up, if you know, Tanner was more of a power forward and center and rebounded and used his natural size to his advantage. Since he's been to high school, he's really performed as a guard and really improved his guard skills, passing, dribbling, guarding some smaller players. So he's come along great. And then generally looking at this season, Chris, like you said, is going to be one of the taller, bigger players in the league. We don't see a lot of height in our league, and we won't this year, no matter who we get. There just aren't a lot of big teams out there. But you're right, Chris goes inside and out, and I was looking forward to this season a lot because I think we can really press a lot and have a, you know, really effective, aggressive defense all 94 feet. I saw that last year towards the end. It's something I've always wanted to do. But a lot of times you put it in, you practice it, you see it, be successful and fail, and you have to weigh those options. Are we failing more than we're succeeding in that press? In the last couple of years, I've kind of given up on it and said, let's just focus on this half court defense or this zone. We don't have everybody on the same page. We might not all be aggressive. But I was really fired up about this year, and I still am, because I think we do have the means to go 9 or 10 deep defensively and really put some pressure on some teams using a variety of different presses. And that's to Taylor, to Drew Abalon, Tommy Walker. We have a lot of good quickness there that can really handle the court and some smaller ball handlers.
Absolutely. And as far as I'm concerned, your big men move well up and down the court as well. I saw it with Derek Roberts. He's got length, he's got jumping ability, and quite frankly, he has speed. I saw him chase somebody down last year. This player for the team we were playing had a wide open breakaway layup, and he ran down the court and caught him and blocked it from behind. He can jump, he's got wingspan, he can rebound the ball very well. Talk about the development of Derek Roberts over the last year, Coach.
So last year, same thing you were saying. He was one of our top rebounders, very good defensive player. If I have to, say who works hardest in practice consistently, it's Derek. He's always running, always. If we do a sprint, he's the first one. I never had to ask him to work any harder, and he led by it with that. He ended up having several games with 10 points, usually off offensive rebounds. He was that player that would run down, like you said, and get an offensive rebound, put back 2 points, which was just backbreaking. You look down, see the other coach, and they hate that when a team out hustles your team to get an easy basket like that. And he did it to the other teams many, many times. He's great. You know, I look for him to play a little more offense this year and be more consistent, and I know he can. And like you said, he's just physically, he's so much faster and can jump. And I know he's grown this summer and has a great attitude, so, and really looking forward to him to playing this year. He's one of those guys I see in the hall that, hey, coach, can't wait to get on the court. You know, I'm consistently hearing that, and it's great to hear.
Absolutely. I'm going to be watching him very closely. I think you're going to see a big jump from Derek Roberts this year. You might have more than two all-conference players, and he's got the potential to be that all-conference player this year as well.
And he knows his role as well. He's not going to go out looking to score 20 points a game. He may get that once in a while, but he knows that if Chris or Jason's open, he's going to pass it to them and then go rebound.
No doubt. Moving on to Tommy Walker. From what I saw from Tommy last year, he had a nice three ball, had a nice good outside shot. Struck me as a very smart basketball player. Kind of knew the situations very well. Is a great kid from everything I know about him. Hard worker. Talk a little bit about Tommy Walker.
Well, he's going to be one of those guys as well that I'm really looking for some good, solid defense. Last year, he turned the corner. I think he got my most improved award by the end of the year. Really came along not turning the ball over and just playing some good, solid defense. Again, I wasn't really confident in him in the beginning of the season, but he proved it in practices and games and came right out. And I remember the last quarter of the last half of the last game against Mount View, he really showed some great things on defense, and he takes charges. He'll give his body up for the team. I love that. Not a lot of players will do that. But I'm looking forward to him, you know, being a senior leader as well.
No doubt. Chase Sanders, to me as well, from all the games that I went to last year, improved as the season went on, moves very well for a player his size. He's going to get those rebounds for you. He's going to get the blocks. He's going to do some dirty work for you. Talk a little bit about Chase Sanders, coach.
So he's got an advantage as a lefty. I know he has a nice little lefty move underneath. He's improved throughout the years, got a little stronger. And it's unfortunate because normally I think he's, you know, in that three range, like a small forward, you know, a couple outside shots here and there, slash to the basket, grab some rebounds and all, maybe defend the other person's, you know, really good forward that can score. But on our team where we don't have a lot of height, I've been asking him to rebound more and kind of do some more post play. But he's very coachable. I'm looking forward to having him on the team too. And that kind of goes with Chance Clark as well, if it's in that same mold.
And Chance will be a senior as well, Clark?
Yes.
Yes. I watched him play some soccer this fall. You know, he's got some length. He's got some good movement skills. I believe he was the goalie for the soccer team. And he's a good athlete. He's got some more height for you. And that's what I really like about your team. It's very versatile. You've got height. You've got length. You've got quickness. You've got speed. You've got experience. This Belfast Lions basketball team is going to be a force to be reckoned with this year.
Yeah, hoping Chance comes back, plays a really good role, because last year he started for a little while, briefly in preseason, and he's that player that would just run and run and run. He gets so many little baskets. I saw it in the summer a year ago where he just beats people up the court and gets those easy layups or an easy rebound like that, and he's that player that just runs. I don't have to tell him. He's just going to get the ball up and go. Beat him up the courts before we even have a chance to set up a play, and I love that.
No doubt. Drew Abalon, coach, is a player who I'm very, very excited about. I was at one of your games last year as a spectator, and Drew literally jumped off the court at me. And when I started to do my research about him and see what he was doing for a fall sport, he wasn't at the time. And his athletic ability, lateral quickness, jumping ability, and just overall quickness made me want him to play football. I recruited him hard. He hadn't played football. He came out this fall in our 7-on-7 environment, ended up starting both ways once he kind of learned what was going on out there. You saw that athletic ability take over. I think what sold me was I think I saw him go up for a layup in one of your basketball games, and he darn near hit his head on the backboard. That's how high he got off the ground. Talk to me about Drew Avalon, coach.
Yeah, very good athlete. We're glad he came over to Belfast his freshman year. Actually, maybe it was a year after. No, it was a freshman year from Washington Academy. Again, very quick, very dedicated, plays year-round, loves to improve his own skills, ball handling. I think he could be stepping into a big role this year. Last year, he did come off the bench most of the time and had some big games at Oceanside, had, I believe, 10 points. He can hit an outside three, but when he gets into the paint and elevates, he can, you know, hold that ball high and shoot those six-footers over anybody, and he's very accurate, very strong. It's a tough shot when you're dribbling towards a hole and then suddenly stop and jump straight up and straight down. It's a good move for him, and, you know, like, that's one of his best moves right there. He's very accurate. Looking for some good things with him, ball handling, hopefully getting Jason away from the ball coming off screens, so he could take over the point guard a lot more. But again, last year towards the end too, he really came alive defensively, playing the whole game. Sometimes he gets a little down on himself, but a lot of players will do that. But I'm looking for him to mature and have a bigger role this year.
Well, I think he's getting ready to blow up, because what he did on the football field for us was darn right impressive. And, you know, whatever sport you're going to play in the fall, you can carry over those skills into the hardwood, whether it be soccer, whether it be football. I know when I played football in high school, it definitely made me a better basketball player. And I think that's going to be the case with Drew Avalon once he hits the court here in the next week or so. Finishing up, we're coming up on top of the hour. I just did want to touch real quick about the prominent players last year I saw on the JV team. You got some quality players there. They won some games. These guys are going to be competing for varsity minutes this year. I don't know how the teams are going to round out with these tryouts are going to take place, but you got a number of quality basketball players. You got a good freshman class coming up, coach. I went down and looked at some of their junior high games last year, so there's a good quality freshman group coming in. But in terms of last year's JV team, you had Keegan McGowan. The core seemed to be Keegan McGowan, Zephyrin Lepinen, Jeremiah Porter, James Ritter, and KJ Payson. That's a pretty darn good starting five at the JV level. And you had Rico Washington come home as well after leaving his sophomore year. He's now back as a junior. He's a pretty good athlete. Talk a little bit about the JV ranks, coach.
Well, all those guys you mentioned, yeah, they've improved a lot. Corey did a nice job with them last year. It was a nice surprise seeing Rico back. I know he left, and before he left in the summer, he was really turning some heads. He had to build a lot on his offensive skills, but I remember him playing in the summer with some varsity players, and he was grabbing rebounds here and there, throwing outlets, which is all we could ask for him to do at that point, and hopefully he's improved. But that could be a nice surprise to see how he goes. I always tell the varsity, always tell the JV, I don't know what's going to happen next season. And this could be another case where you see some of those younger players really come out. I know they're dedicated and they played a lot, and they're all playing, they play other sports, but they put a lot into basketball as well. And there's always one or two of those guys who come up and maybe pass some of those varsity players. It very well could be that way. It happens every year in every sport. And I'm open to looking at it. If they come in and do a great job, they could be, or grab a six-man role. Who knows? Maybe even start, because everything changes year to year. I'm always trying to be open with that. But there is some good talent there, a lot of good offensive talent, and we'll wait and see what happens.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it, and really fired up about both the varsity and JV, however that shapes out to be this year. I did want to also mention to our listeners, Coach Marty was the KVAC Coach of the Year last year. And to bring a man back with that trophy on his trophy case, and with all this talent coming back this year, this 2020 Belfast Lions team literally has an opportunity to best that it's been in here in a long time. Coach, I appreciate you joining the show. It's always great talking sports. It's always great talking basketball with a sport I love as well. I really appreciate all the insight and all the information, and we'll see you at the team meeting tomorrow, and looking forward to coaching with us this year.
Well, thanks for having me. I'll be glad to come back. It was a lot of fun.
You got it, coach. We'll talk to you down the road. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.